Welcome, Patreon subscribers, to your exclusive new segment called Retro Reviews, where we select a movie from back in the day, which may have been a Wednesday.
Was a Wednesday.
And we discuss it for your entertainment.
Every month, Brian is picking a theme for the month, and then we are selecting the movie based on that theme. This month, being the month of February, was romantic comedies and just those fun movies you like to watch with your significant other. And Brian masterfully picked 10 Things I Hate About You.
It was a group effort.
It was actually, yeah. We were all kind of, as soon as it was said, it was, and I don't remember, I think it was Brian probably brought it up before I did, but it was brilliant.
Yep.
Next month is not going to be a group effort. You guys are going to hate
I'm going to hate next month. I know it. I feel it in my bones.
I'm excited for it.
Wait, what's the theme next month?
It's going to be.
We'll unveil it at the end of the podcast.
We'll tease it at the end. All right, let me give you a little bit of background of 10 Things I Hate About You. 10 Things I Hate About You was released in 1999. This is actually Heath Ledger's first American movie. It is an adaptation of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, which means nothing except to like two people. And hi, those two people. I'm glad you're here. Starring Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles, Joseph Gordon-Levitt at very young age. This movie's fantastic, right? It's real good. Holds up. Very happy with it.
Of course it holds up, and it's all of those sort of Shakespeare adaptations do. Even kind of the shitty ones, you're like, it's worth a watch. But this one was particularly good. I think it was like 1819 when it released, and I loved it then. I still love it now. It's a great movie. It's a great story. There's great characters. Even like the asshole characters are like, he's not so bad.
Does anyone want to do a synopsis, or are we all kind of good on everyone knows this movie?
Synopsis. Just every 90s romantic comedy. Because that's what it is. Guy does something to mean to girl that doesn't get unveiled till later, but girl forgives him anyway. The end.
Right.
Yeah, it could have been Lainey Boggs anyway. You know what I mean? Could have been any one of those.
That's true. Really, this is just like what was the movie of Freddie? She's All That. Yeah.
Yeah, it's She's All That. It's down
one
to
guy
you.
Tricked it's, or dared
it's
to
boys and girls.
Girl. Right,
it's like every Freddie Prinze.
Every Freddie Prinze movie.
Right.
Every like, Freddie Prinze movie. Yep.
But this Julia Stiles is a big part of that genre.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Heath Ledger, not only this, but you gotta put A Knight's Tale in the same sort of pretending to be somebody that he's not.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
not
all the
damning
same.
The movie for doing it. I'm just saying.
No,
it,
yeah.
It's a huge thing in the 90s.
Yeah, it was. And it was that there was that formula. All of these are very formulaic and stretching into the early 2000s. Yeah. They're all the same movie, but they're all like.
They're all different. That's the weird part.
To people that are within our age brackets, and we span about a decade, right?
Yeah.
Like eight years between us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for people within that age group, I think these movies are incredibly important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I saw this movie once. 99, I would have been 13. So I don't think I saw it in the theater. I think I saw it once I started working at Blockbuster. I have not watched it since. So it's been over a decade. And I mean, it was good. I do enjoy it. Again, typical 90s genre movie. I watched it the other night, and when the credits were rolling, I was like, why is that band on the roof of the school?
That's very true. I thought this
no
was
one can hear them playing from up there.
No one can do that.
What is the point?
This was a movie I was definitely exposed to in high school, not when it initially came out. Probably due to some English teacher teaching us Taming of the Shrew and then made us watch this thinking that we would get it, and of course we didn't. Definitely rewatching this again in college when I took a Shakespeare class and was actually reading Taming of the Shrew to just really kind of help me modernize it and understand it. And then since then, it's kind of been in rotation. It kind of comes in every once in a while. And anytime it's on any streaming service,
yeah,
or if it
for
was
sure.
ever on TV, you're like, oh, well, this like that's the afternoon. We're watching 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yep.
Really good.
I purchased it.
Did you
purchased.
Really?
I also purchased it. I did not own it other than like the you remember when Netflix sent out DVDs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you would just rip them and have them in a thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Except I don't have a DVD player, so I can't play the books and books of DVDs that I own.
Right.
That this is one of those that I was like, yeah, I need to repurchase it, rewatch it. And there was a few things that I noticed now that I didn't notice a few years ago last time I watched it. David Krumholtz, so who was in the TV show Numbers.
Numbers?
Right? Numbers.
Yes.
He was also in Elf.
He's great in this movie.
Yeah, no, he was in Elf.
He's in the Santa Claus.
Oh, the Santa Claus, that's right.
He is Bernard, the head elf.
Yes, you're right. Sorry. Yes, you're absolutely right.
He is fantastic in this movie.
But he's great in the movie, and it's like, you know, it reminds you of everything good he's done since and how good he's been in those roles. He was Harold and Kumar as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's been great in all that stuff, and it all sort of started. This is the first, like, memorable role that I recall.
I remember not really being attached to him or really appreciating his performance until I was rewatching it again.
Oh, and he's so good. Like, he's just
so good. His humor is on point.
Yeah. The timing is great. He plays this amazing nerdy cornball.
Yep.
But like so romantic in the hanging the Shakespearean dress in the girl's locker. I mean, the guys are romantic. And it's because of the role played by David Krumholtz and then and sort of the dynamic between Julia Stiles and Heath Ledger that it does draw me back to Taming of the Shrew.
Right.
They did a really good job of carrying off those roles.
So let me just be the theater nerd for just a couple of minutes. And let me just get a few of the big nods to Shakespeare out of the way. So first off, Patrick Verona. Verona, where Taming of the Shrew is set. Bianca and
multiple Shakespearean plays. Verona,
Stratford. They're the Stratfords. Stratford upon Avon is where Shakespeare was born.
Right.
Funny tips to the hat there. There's other ones as well, including I think even the name of the school is some kind of tip.
And Bianca's the same name. And
Bianca's the same name. Katerina is Cat.
Right.
What was her name? Oh God, why can't I remember? Whatever. There's a couple other nods to Shakespeare here. It was a lot of fun because if you have read Taming of the Shrew, they do kind of keep some of that. And one of the lines that Joseph Gordon-Levitt delivers when he first sees Bianca about, like, I pine, I fire, I...
It's directly from the play.
Right. So it was just fun that they said, listen, we're going to raise a glass to the source material. But at the same time, you're totally tricked if you've never read or heard Taming of the Shrew. Of watching a Shakespearean drama play out right in front of you. It's a lot of fun. And then, of course, the Shakespeare dress and the fact that they actually have Shakespeare in, like, a locker. I've never seen Shakespeare in so many people's lockers, but he wasn't in this movie. So I guess he's got that going for him.
Really inspiring. They focus on their English program at that preparatory school.
I completely forgot that Allison Janney is in this movie at
all. Oh, my God, as the guidance counselor.
And I know she's
Perky.
In it for like 3 minutes, but God.
Yeah, but she's great.
She's so good.
She's
what
using
can Allison
the kids
Janney do?
As a thesaurus for her naughty, naughty novel.
My favorite was when she changed it to his throbbing bratwurst.
Bratwurst, right. Go, well,
it's so dumb.
It works in a cheesy romance novel.
It was pretty good.
So the thing that, like, all right, this is a giant high school, but like that stadium and the Can't Take My Eyes Off of You performance, it's one of those things that I think doesn't set it as a 90s only genre thing. It's one of those things that helps it hold up is that some of the music in there is pretty timeless. Like even some of the cover stuff, the rock stuff that you would think, it's like 90s ska, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's sort of,
oh, yeah. There's a lot of ska in this movie.
Sort of no doubt.
I was watching this, and I literally turned to my fiance, and I was like, I miss ska. I really do.
But I think that's one of the reasons it holds up. I really do. Because everybody's kind of like, you hear the music, and you're like, yeah, I can get behind this.
Right.
Right? It's not like... mid 90s R&B that all had the same beat. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's unique on, you know, in itself and reminds you of a time and place. And you're like, oh yeah, I can accept that.
I mean, as long as we're talking about like people who had these tiny roles that I was like really, really into, Daryl Mitchell playing the English teacher, just every scene with him, just ending every scene with him kicking Cat out of the class for just no reason at all. No reason. quite enjoyable.
I'm really excited about this assignment. I can't wait to do it. Get out.
Get out.
Just get out. I was like, no, but she's actually made
just go.
No, it was, and there's so many other things. I want to bring up a fun fact. So I was obviously on the IMDb afterwards, just kind of trolling the page and finding anything I could that was kind of interesting. And I found this, and I thought it was very, very weird. The fact that Heath Ledger sings "Can't Take My Eyes Off of You." This makes Heath Ledger the third actor to sing this song prior to playing a Batman villain. The first was Christopher Walken in Deer Hunter before he went on to Batman Returns. Okay. Michelle Pfeiffer did it in the famous Baker Boys before playing Catwoman.
Fabulous.
And then here we are, Heath Ledger doing it before, obviously years before he plays the Joker. But like, who knew that was a connection? Who was like, that's a fun fact. I'm like, yes, it is, but
apparently it was also Julia Stiles' suggestion to use that song.
Yes, I've read that as well, that she was the one who said that that's the song that you should use. The thing that's very obvious about this movie is how well this cast got along, right? Because they're all in similar ages. Everything here is a relocation. None of this is shot on a set. So they're all just the right age to just hang out and
go. No. I agree. It seems that there was some really good chemistry on it and off screen. I mean, it would kind of have to be for them to gel this way. And it's not one of those movies where you're watching it going, thinking the timing's off or the lines are corny. Like there was, and even though probably it should have been, like they made the corny stuff seem really genuine, which is funny. I think it's one of those components that really, really, really makes this an okay watch over and over and over and over.
It was nice to see, and again, it's one of those things where this is a time capsule of people early in their careers.
By the way, Larry Miller was not early in his career, cracked me the fuck up every time he was on screen. Larry Miller was the Stratford's father.
Oh, okay, yeah,
he's great in everything.
He's so dry. So dry. Yeah, it hurts to watch, but it's hilarious.
When he says, I think it's the scene where Bianca's trying to get him to let her go to prom, and he says, prom is the reason I'm like elbow deep in placenta all day.
Placenta, that's right.
or the scene where he realizes that he's not going to let Bianca date until Kat dates. He's like, ooh, yes, yes. And he does that like,
that's a wonderful plan.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there as a dad going, I approve of this plan. And I like the way this guy's implementing this.
They're going to Bogie Lowenstein's party, and Gabrielle Union and I can't remember her name, Bianca, Larissa, whatever. They come down the steps. They're trying to sneak out. He's like, you should have used the window. Right.
Right. That was a great
time. But Kat's also going to go, so they can go. But before they do, I want you to wear the belly. He makes her wear the pregnant belly and walk around the living room.
My favorite part, too, is that Patrick shows up. So Heath Ledger shows up and he turns around, and before he leaves, he goes, who knocked up your sister?
Who knocked up your sister?
Fucking goddamn.
And it was a line that just
delivery
snuck in there.
Is just stark enough that just...
Like, yeah, like he just caught it out of the corner of his eye. I was like, hey, who knocked up your sister?
Knocked up your sister. Oh, so good. You're right. Man. Sorry. This is one of the movies that really captures people before they're big stars, right?
Oh, for sure.
And you get to see, like, oh my God, these people have had that spark. They've had that thing that makes people superstars. Before you're aware of it. Same thing. We just mentioned Gabrielle Union's in this movie as well. Holy crap. And even her performance, really good. And it's just a side bit, but she's memorable, right? She's not just a crony or a lackey to Bianca. She really is a friend. And even the moments where she plays a little airheaded or ditzy, she's really good.
Well, she's a high school girl, right? There again, they're competitive. There's
moments.
Bianca had to go, so she's gonna go to the other place with Joey. I mean it's shitty, but that's
high,
the character.
That's high school, right? Yeah,
that's high school.
Right. And I still hear the line. Like her first line is, I know you can be underwhelmed and you can also be overwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed? I've heard that since then. Like, there's a lot of like things that like just carried over that I didn't realize kind of came from this movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I had always, when I was feigning just like just any kind of response, sometimes I would just go, "I want you, I need you, oh baby, oh baby," and just said that just I've been saying that for years. I completely forgot that that's something that Kat says to Patrick outside the music store. It's something I've been saying for a while. I'm just like, I didn't realize this is from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yep.
Let's talk about Joey, though, because that actor, was it Andrew? What's his name? Keegan? Yeah, Andrew Keegan?
Yeah.
I don't see him in much. I think he was in Seventh Heaven for a little bit of time.
I'm sure. He was big in the 90s and early 2000s. He was in a lot of stuff, like, as that very similar role.
Yeah, he hasn't done a whole lot lately, but you're right. He was a 90s, 2000 guy kind of making the rounds.
He did the rounds on all the crime shows.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
All right. But I hate his character, but I love the way the guy portrays the character. It's the blue steel before blue steel was a thing. Let me show you underwear. And then he strikes the pose and he goes, all right, now let me show you a swimsuit.
He also
see
did
the difference?
All like the, he also did all like the Full House, Party of Five, Boy Meets World, Step by Step. He was on all those.
There's another fun fact that I had read that he actually didn't know how to how to draw a genital on his face, and David had to teach him how to draw the dick on his own face. Could you imagine sitting down with somebody being like, hey, before we film the scene, can you just show me what you're going to draw? Oh, dude, that doesn't look anything like it. Let me teach you how to draw a dick on my face.
Good old
the fact
David
that he had
Crumb
to do
holds.
That. Right. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. Let me ask this though. We're talking real great about this movie. Is there anything about this movie that maybe stuck out to you? Something that either didn't age well, or just something that you kind of wish maybe they had done a little different choice on? Or is this movie close to perfect? It doesn't really have a whole lot.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's close to perfect.
No,
it's a fun watch. But the pace is very quick. It's typical hour 40-minute 90s movie. Like if you do this movie now, it's a 2.5-hour movie easy.
Right.
No, and it's like, way more whiny and complaining.
Oh, yeah,
but watching it now, I'm just like, oh, wow. It's like really like wham, bam, bam, bam. Like it moves fast. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it's a solid watch. It's enjoyable. It's funny. When Heath Ledger says, what's up with this girl? Does she have beer flavored nipples? I literally spit take. it's got some really good lines. I enjoy this movie.
This is a classic like 90 movies thing when they go to that paintball or paint balloon areas.
Yeah.
I'm going,
yeah.
Where the
where
hell
do
does
do
that exist?
Thing? Where like the 90s
zoom
is notorious
out.
For
and
those
also
things.
How are you the only two on this
yes,
course? You know damn well there'd be 13 other 12-year-olds.
Right. There's no fence, right?
There's then, some kid's birthday party that you're now a part of and you're making out in the hay.
Do they not do they just give everyone a brand new jumpsuit do they wash them so that they're perfectly clean? I don't understand.
Like she goes home with paint all over her hair and face.
All over her hair, but the rest of her, yeah. Anyway, I just was like, where is that area? I know it's Seattle. I know there's some hipster establishment before hipsters were a thing in the 90s, but that's just a weird part.
But to your point, every freaking 90s film had that.
Oh yeah.
Like ridiculous thing, like
ridiculous
the guy and girl go do,
no
and you're like,
do.
Where is this thing? Where does this exist in the world today? Please,
you know, it's the stuff that I don't like, it, not even don't like, but like the stuff that I have a hard time suspending my disbelief is like you backing your piece of shit car into my Camaro and having no consequences for it, right? Like right. Or any of the other violence that. Like the any of the other violence that Kat engages in that doesn't get her arrested,
right?
Somehow.
Like kicking that guy
or,
in the testicles,
or like flashing the gym teacher to get him out of
flashing
detention.
The gym teacher.
Yeah,
like
right.
I'm sorry, you have detention now too.
you can't just flash somebody. And by the way, where's your bra?
Right. Well, this actually kind of brings up another thing too. I didn't remember how slapsticky this movie is at times. Just the random gags, like when Bianca shoots the gym teacher with the bow and arrow, and they just carry on the discussion. No
that
problem.
Good, yeah.
Heath Ledger smacking the butt of the security guard as he's being
that was
around.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right. The other bit I love with the gym teacher when he's in the detention, he goes to the guy, he goes, you're really sweaty. Yes, sir. Your eyes are all bloodshot. Yeah. You've got pot, don't you? Yes, sir. And he goes, I'm confiscating that. And then he walks past the Cheetos and goes, Cheetos. These two. And I was like, yes! I love that bit. So good. But the humor in this movie is pretty good. Also, the same, the kid whose life is destroyed by the people at this school. Well, first off, he hits somebody in the head with a golf ball, right? When he's golfing outside for gym class. And then
Bogey Lowenstein.
Right, they wreck his house and Can right. you take it outside? And they crash the window and goes, thank you. It's just, I forgot how slapsticky it was.
I think comedies nowadays could use a little bit more slapsticky humor like that. I think this genre is a lost genre anymore.
It is.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore. Right?
I think they tried
to bring it back, right? Like Justin Timberlake had a try, like what, Friends with Benefits or whatever, and Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis had a try. But like,
wasn't there a Zac Efron movie too that kind of had the same
awkward moment?
Ashton Kutcher also had the Natalie Portman movie.
No Strings Attached.
Yeah, that. Like, it's just, they've tried, and it doesn't work anymore. Can't Hardly Wait was maybe the most recent good one.
Oh, yeah, no.
What was that, like 2003?
Hey, right, and that was maybe like four years after this. Like, it wasn't that far removed. But Can't Hardly Wait, also, Ethan Embry, we just talked about Empire Records on our Patreon thing. On That Kind of Nerd. Yeah, sorry. The same guy, same genre, different character.
I'm just saying we need to bring the Freddie Prinze genre back.
But without Freddie Prinze, how do you do that?
Well, Freddie Prinze,
who's your guy? Who's your guy?
Zac Efron.
Nah, he's a little old.
Oh, no. He's not. He's under 25.
Yes. No.
He is actually 25.
But he looks like he's 37 and he's way
too old. Tom Holland.
Yeah. Oh, Tom
Holland. Or hell, just have Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The kid doesn't age. He still looks like he's 13.
He's fucking 32.
He still looks like he's 13.
To see Don John, you're like, oh, okay, let's calm down. I don't want you doing stuff anymore.
I like Inception too much to do that to Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, so here's the question. If we're like, hey, we should kind of bring this back, we kind of just talked about how there's only a few people right now that we can think off the top of our heads who can do it, and that it's been tried before and it doesn't work. So do you do it in earnest, or do you do it again in like a not another teen movie style where you're making fun of that genre?
No, I'm not saying.
What are you, a Wayans brother?
I'm not saying you remake that movie. That's what you're saying.
Do we become a complete parody?
Right.
Or do we make a movie? And look, parodies are cool, but like,
there's only
one Naked Gun, is what I'm saying. And everything else pales in comparison.
Naked Gun and Airplane.
The first airplane.
Yes. I acknowledge the...
And again, like, that's about as far as I'm willing to draw the line. And nobody is Mel Brooks. So,
no.
Like, it's almost...
I guess you're right. I guess it can't be done anymore, parody-wise.
You can't do it as a parody, right? Yeah, so there's none of that. There's none of the Airplane... genre. There's none of that Naked Gun, and there's certainly no more Mel Brooks.
Hot Shots.
That was Mel Brooks.
Hot Shots wasn't Mel Brooks, was it?
Well, it was Albert Brooks, and was it Mel Brooks?
No, I don't think it was Mel.
I don't think it was.
But it's in the same vein.
Yeah,
it is in the same vein.
Anyway, you can't make a parody. It's very difficult to bring this genre back sincerely.
Right.
I mean, I think you can. I think that Awkward Moment came close. It just didn't do well. That's the problem. Is that these things, when they get tried, they don't do well at the box office.
No, I mean, essentially, Brian, we agree. I mean, you and I are both saying the same thing. It's just we have different sticking points. That's all.
Who would like to guess for some of the taglines for
the
this?
The taglines for this movie?
Yeah, who would like to guess some of the taglines? Yeah, who would like to guess some of the taglines?
Taglines for 10 things?
For 10 things I hate about you. There are 5. I'll tell you, there are 5 taglines for this movie.
In a world.
Something, 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 beer-flavored nipples.
All right, let me give the official taglines. It's a, how do I loathe thee? Let me count the ways.
Oh, counting because of 10.
10, right.
Gotcha.
They're spitefully romantic. I pine, I perish.
That's the line.
There are so many ways, there are so many different ways to hate. Count them yourself.
10, there's 10.
And then my favorite one, this is my favorite one. Romeo, oh Romeo, get out of my face. Thought that one was the solid one. I feel like the other ones would have been drafts, and they would have been like, go with that one. I like that one. Go with that one. The budget for this movie, crazy. This is a crazy estimated budget for this, was $30 million. And I guess in 1999 money, that's it's not too bad for.
Well, let's adjust for inflation here.
Oh, why not? Are we doing that? I don't really feel like
it was what
that.
Now? How much?
$30 million
is what it made.
That was his estimated budget. The budget for the movie, $30 million.
Okay,
$30 million in 1999.
Mm-hmm. What, like 33, 35?
$30 million 1999 is 45 million.
That's
45,326,290 in 2019.
50% tax? Good
Brian,
God.
Brian, keep that calculator up because the opening weekend was $8.3 million.
All right.
So did not do well for its wide release, and that was up till April 4th.
8,300,000.
Well, it'd be 12.
12. Yep. 12,540,273.
However, their gross pull-in up until August 29th of 1999 was $38 million. So it made money, right, at the end of the day, and has definitely found a second life on VHS and home release.
You're not including all the sales.
No. Just talking of when the studio would be looking at it to care, right?
Okay.
Just looking at the box office, when the studio would actually care. I mean, it made $8 million. I mean, that's not too terrible. But it's definitely obviously found its second life on VHS and on demand, and now streaming. So,
and I think that's a pretty similar story for all of these types of movies. They never do well at the box office. They always make their money in home video and DVD and Blu-rays and stuff like that.
Like they'd have to be released this weekend. They'd have to be released thanks or you know Valentine's.
But that's why this genre doesn't exist anymore, because all we care about is box office anymore. They don't really factor in Blu-ray.
What's
a
decent movie?
Or hey, is this actually good? Is this actually a good film?
Well, yeah.
Does this make sense? No.
What happens?
Wayne.
If this was released now and it did really successful, you know what would be coming out next year, right? 11 Things I Hate About You.
Oh.
Maybe just keep it going. Listen, I think it's pretty obvious, but I'm just curious. I want to get it on the record. Would you recommend this movie, Brian?
Verily.
Verily?
Verily. Yay.
Verily?
I know what I said.
Okay. I didn't. All right. Josh, would you recommend this movie?
Absolutely. Everybody should watch this
movie. And I would 100% definitely put this on the list of movies that you need to watch and just make you a little bit nostalgic for the 90s. So fantastic. All right. Anything anyone else has to add?
Nope.
I miss ska. Someone sent me a playlist of ska.
I'll figure it out.
Checkered Vans.
Josh,
right,
I need you to send me a ska playlist.
I'll figure it out. Like, I mean, at this point, listen, if you need just a quick fix, Tragic Kingdom. Just listen to No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom.
Big Fish.
True, very true.
Don't listen to Real Big Fish. Calm down over there. Jesus.
Thank you, Josh. Curate a playlist for me, please.
Just start with Tragic Kingdom and I'll go from there.
Brian, here's what I really need to do. I need to get checkered van slip-ons, right? I need to wear black shirt, black pants, checkered tie.
Get fucking tell me. I'll show up.
Is he going
to
a swing contest?
Get right into that Scott van. You'll fit right into the scene, man.
He's not in the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
You could go in the front row and start dancing. You'd be fine. All right, Mr. Thornton. This was our pick for the month of February due to the theme being romantic comedies. So what do we have in store for next month?
So next month, in honor of Captain Marvel coming out for the month of March, we will be reviewing another space hero, Green Lantern. I'm so excited to watch this again and talk about it.
Oh my God.
Starring Ryan Reynolds. And what year did this come out?
Oh,
there's a Skarsgård in there, and that's the whole reason I hate that movie.
Skarsgård's actually good in this.
No, he's not. He's awful with his puffy face, his exploding head. Is. Awful.
Spoiler, there's a lot of stuff I do not like about this movie, but there's also a lot of stuff I do like
about
this movie.
Look, it gets my nod because Blake Lively. If
this
I can
movie
see
came
Blake
out
Lively,
in 2011.
Is that where they... Well, I guess we'll talk about it next week. They came out in 2011? Has
it really
been
that... It came out in 2011.
Has it not been that long?
It has not even been a decade, but I figured it's old enough and Captain Marvel's coming out.
Oh, man.
Let's watch this. That is where they met and ultimately ended up together.
So, patrons, thank you so much for your support. And again, these are some of the changes that we're making to our Patreon to give you more content so that way you can go ahead and get a bang for your buck. Thank you again for your continued support. Cannot wait to give you the next retro review. Green Lantern, it's gonna be a rough ride. Thank you again so much for your support, and we will see you next month.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.